That's a song that we didn't get to hear much of it from Bernadette Ruddy, and Bernadette Ruddy is indeed a very popular singer in Ireland, and she born bred buttered in Attymacue, which I believe is in the parish of Foxford, the neighbouring parish to my own Attymass. We'll find that out now as we go to Foxford in County Mayo, and to Oliver Murphy, who is the public relations officer for the Admiral Brown Society. Hello there, Oliver Brown.
Hello, Oliver Murphy, but I might as well be. Greetings, Adrian, from Foxford to yourself and all your listeners.
Thank you indeed. Tell us, if you will, about, we were just, we had our sportscaster, newscaster, Kevin O'Connor on there shortly, and he was implying that Ireland as a whole would be rooting in the World Cup tomorrow for Germany. That does not translate to Foxford and the Admiral Brown Society. Tell us.
Oh, definitely not, Adrian. No, on account of our close association and relationship with that South American country, on account of the fact that Admiral Brown was born here in 77 and went on to, you know, liberate the country, and I suppose to a large extent the South Atlantic. He's revered there. So it's really right and fitting, Adrian, that we would support this country, seeing that our Ireland is not in the running, unfortunately.
Right.
It's only right and fitting, Adrian, that we would go on and support Argentina and you know, keep that close relationship. And you know, we want to encourage it, as the Admiral Brown Society would. And, and you know, there's a great buzz locally in the community. They have really got behind this. Main Street is bedecked with the blue and white flags of the Argentine Republic, and Guiry's Bar on Main Street is almost, well, people are saying it's the closest thing we have to the Iranian or Argentinian embassy at the minute. So,
yeah, listen, to for those who may not know anything about Admiral Brown, now you give us a bit more information. Where was he actually born? Was it in the town?
Adrian, sorry.
Was it in the town of Foxford? Or was it out
there?
Yeah,
Adrian, the local lore suggests that he was born along Providence Road, not actually very far from the famous woolen mills. And that, I recall going to the national school and under Mr. Peter Tolan, our schoolmaster, he always maintained, excuse me, that the house was actually outside of the school boundary walls, and I suppose maybe to someone maybe going to school in the 70s, you know, there was no trace of a road, and you'd often wonder, well, who, you know, how
right.
could he have lived up to there? But I was fortunate enough some years ago to view a very old map of Foxford. And lo and behold, I discovered that there was actually a road running from that links the modern-day Providence Road with the modern-day Chapel Road. You know, if there was a road there, then the whole possibility then kind of, you know, jumped out at me and said, God, yes, well, if there was a road there, the possibility of a house
right.
there was,
yeah.
you know, likely as well. And that's the story, you know, that's the local story on,
right.
on that. And, of course, I suppose we don't mention it that much, but there's also a local lore that an uncle of his, Father James Brown, was a Catholic priest in, it's reputed that he was a parish priest actually in Foxford, and that he got somewhat caught up in the conflict of 1798 and was forced to go on the run, and that he said mass in the village of, that beautiful village at the foot of Dark Mountains, Glenduff.
Oh, yeah.
You might know it, Adrian.
I do. Yes.
And I remember some years ago, there was a Mr. Gallagher there, and I was doing a bit of a heritage survey in that area. And Mr. Gallagher brought me into his house, God rest him. And he said to me, he said, it was just down the road in another house where the priest said, used to say mass in secret.
How about that?
I was told in this, there was a house there, a station mass in a house there in the 1960s. And the canon, I think it was Canon Shrion in Foxford.
Yes.
He was delaying coming down the watering towards the house, and the curate had got there before him, and the people were assembled waiting for the mass to be said, and he was standing at a tree, and there were, you know, people were wondering, oh, well, you know, how's the delay? But he did eventually come down, and he said, I wasn't born in this village, he said, but I used to visit it with my parents as a child. And he said, see this branch I have in here? It's a small segment of a branch of a tree.
Mm.
And he said, it was under this tree, he said, that Admiral Brown's uncle said mass.
Wow.
So,
tell us a little bit about him, like, how did he wind up in Argentina to begin with?
Yeah, well, the story goes, Adrian, that he immigrated with his father, and they were to stay with another relative in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
in the United States. And shortly after arriving there, that they discovered that a relative had contracted yellow fever, which was you know, it was a big thing at the time, and that his own father then was struck down with it as well, and that walking along the harbour. He was spotted by a sea captain of the Merchant Navy,
mm.
and offered who took kind of pity on him and offered a job as a cabin boy. And then at some time, it's either story goes that he was either impressed into the British Navy, but he ended up in the Napoleonic Wars, and their ship he was on was captured, and he was imprisoned in France. And he escaped from that prison and recaptured, and he was put into the high security military prison at Verdun in France.
Mm.
And with the help of an English military man, they escaped, and he got back to England. He became friendly with a family called the Chitty family. They were big into shipping in their own right, and which involved shipping from England onto the continent. And eventually he married the daughter, one of the daughters of the Chitty family, and he decided that with the help of the Chitty family that he would start, he would sail to the South America, there was opportunities there, and that he would go into the trading business himself. And I think he visited at first maybe for 6 months and then came back and then took ship and went. And his wife joined him, I think it was about 2 years after, and he started trading across the Parana, and mainly in hides and other, material like that. And the story goes that the Spanish confiscated the ship, and of course, rather, you can imagine.
Yeah.
And then around that time, there was, in the United Province, there was great talk of rebellion, independence from Spain, and I suppose that movement came into its own, and he offered his services. Such was his skill that he had attained, and his knowledge of the water, and particularly the Parana River and so forth, that it was a throw-up between an American man and him, and he went out and he was asked to, not alone to lead the Navy, but to actually establish it, which meant from the ground up he had to acquire ships, and it was strange too. There were some of the ships that he got, he set up extra rows of cannons, which was unheard of, and then kind of what we could probably call now and in the theater of war, rockets propelled, provisions and stuff like that. That was kind of unheard of. And then he, of course, drew up there, which seemed to suggest that he must be well versed in the ways of naval matters, because he set up their own, for the Argentine Navy, their own set of flag signals, which, you know, acquires some expertise and some knowledge.
Yeah.
Good, you know. He was an amazing strategist and tactician, and this was the feature of battles. Instead of doing the usual, you know, one of the middle naval things, he would attack through the middle, try and break, get in among them. Then with the double rows of cannons that he had, he would have twice the firepower of the other ships. And he chose ships as well that, you know, would have a small draft, so he could actually be very maneuverable in the water. And his knowledge of the Parana and the waters was, you know, exceptional. and now, how this was led to us.
Has the Admiral, Oliver, let me ask you about the Admiral Brown Society. Had they found any relatives of Admiral Brown? Has with all of the electronic media and all the availability now of tracking routes, are any Browns saying he was one of us?
Yes, Adrian. In Argentina, of course, that we have that line there because of his marriage there. You know, we have that line there. And people often wondered, well, what was the line in, what was his ancestors would, in terms of his Irish connections here? Certainly, in his own memoirs, all he mentioned was that he was actually born in Foxford. He gave scant details of, any family life here. But last August, I was contacted by a family from Northern Ireland who were researching their own family tree and have come across a line that may include Admiral William Brown. And they came to Foxford, and they also came to Galway. They were because they found a grave there in the graveyard of Longton in Galway. And I met them here in Foxford and spent the day with them. It looks, Adrian, that there could be links. We're close on it, but we're not. But there is one little section we just cannot link together. But we're working on it. It's a work in progress. And hopefully, it would be amazing if we did find some yes here in Ireland. Just would. Definitely.
Yeah, and of course you're quoted as saying that Admiral Brown is to Argentina what Pádraig Pearse is to us. The Admiral Brown Society in Foxford has had a tremendous history itself.
Absolutely, Adrian. I mean, we can thank, first and foremost, we can thank the 1957 Centenary Committee, people that started because, there was the Argentine government and Argentine people donated a bust of Admiral Brown that was on the 1957 was the centenary of Brown's death.
Right.
And so, in kindness to the people of Foxford and County Mayo, the government and the Navy, Argentine Navy, decided they would donate a bust, which was opened at that time on a long Chapel Road, which remains there today.
Right.
So that was the kind of first kind of initial start of it. The Admiral Brown Memorial Hall that was built in the I think it was in the 30s along Chapel Road too. Some of the funding for that was sourced from Argentina, and the rest, of course, from North America. And then in the 1980s, the parish priest of Foxford was contacted the Argentine embassy in Dublin, and just said that there was an Argentine naval contingent was coming to commemoration, and could there be something extra kind of organized for them during their trip? And the parish priest contacted JJ, and JJ set about putting a whole program at that.
Of course, JJ. JJ.
I refer to JJ O'Hara, he was our former president, God rest him,
And a great character, not only as a local businessman, but he was definitely instrumental in developing that Argentinian connection and
absolutely. From that point on, Adrian, he made over 20 trips into Argentina, and every time he would use the media there to highlight Fox's connection, Ireland's connection as well.
Sure.
And of course, he's always come back and say, he's so well known there as I've kind of included in the Irish Times piece there today. He's as well known there to the Argentine people as like Pádraig Pearse would be to us. But the only thing he always thought is our own here in Ireland, we didn't know enough. And some of that was because a lot of the books written at the time and through the 50s and 60s by Argentine authors were all in the Spanish. But he met a man called Thomas H. Hudson, who has written many books about the Irish in Argentina, yeah. Especially the people like there was a Thormond from Wexford who was in Bolivar, Simon Bolivar's Army of Independence in South America, and JJ met him, and he was thinking about writing a book about some other chap, and JJ convinced him to write a book in English about Admiral Brown, and that was one of the first publications that we had in English. And, it was measures like that actually JJ was on top of, and he would it forward the whole idea of Brown for people at home. And I suppose since JJ's death, the society under the chairman, Gus O'Hara, his brother, and we have all stays in place, and we continue to promote Brown every way we can.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I would like to mention, because our time is getting a bit short here, but what I would like to also mention is that I think there are a great many people who, of course, we could mention from Foxford, but. Probably two of the best known Foxfordians, and if that's not a word, well, then you can use it as you see fit. Two great Foxford people made a tremendous mark in the United States. One, of course, musician Brendan Ward, who's still hale and hearty and lives in Florida.
Yes.
And then his wife, Breege. The DC, and indeed both of them have done a tremendous job, a lifetime of service to indeed not only the promotion of Ireland through music and song, but also in particular always indeed were great ambassadors for Foxford. So to you and to those who are celebrating, regardless of the outcome of the World Cup tomorrow, we want to wish you luck, and thank you very much indeed for spending the time with us. Good luck to you, and maybe it's easier for me, being an immigrant from Mighty Mass, to say I'm with you tomorrow too, in case there's nobody from Mighty Mass who cares one way or the other. So God bless. Thanks for
God bless. Thank you very much, Jason, and
you,
all your listeners. And we'll be rooting for the seniors and minors tomorrow as well.
Absolutely. Or you can say that again, but that's even bigger news. Okay, thank you.
God bless you, Jason, and all your listeners.
Okay,
God bless. Thank you very much.
Bye. Oliver Murphy, there, friends, who is a PRO of the Admiral Brown Society in Foxford and County Mayo.
My heart was throbbing.
John Hogan singing a little bit of Moonlight in Mayo here for us.
In all my dreams I seem to hear her sweet voice soft and low. I know she's waiting where we said goodbye in old Mayo. Now to Irish eyes is smiling, and an Irish heart is pining, where I kissed her and caressed her.
It has to be